I've been enjoying it. I have had my moments of procrastination, it has to be said. And I think I need a big sign to stick it on the fridge that basically says, you know, you'll enjoy it once you get started. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Art Juice, behind the scenes conversations about making art and the creative life with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
First of all, before we get started, I just want to say thank you so much, everybody who has listened, who has shared, who has sent us messages. I think we are both absolutely blown away by the response, aren't we?
Yes, it's been absolutely fantastic. And unless you're all being very, very kind and just being nice to us, we really appreciate the fact that you actually like it. Thank you.
I think what's been amazing for me is that we have somehow managed to touch both people kind of emotionally and intellectually. I've had people message and say it's, you know, brought them tears and recognition. And also people who've done really super practical things like have a massive studio clear out. So the fact that we're making any difference at all is incredible, because really we're just here to have a natter, aren't we?
Yeah. And we don't think we have anything especially brilliant to say, which we don't, but I think what we do have is honesty. And that's the feedback I've been getting from people, is that thank you for being honest, and for saying, for talking about our struggles. And that's what I always appreciate when I listen to other people. So I can see that.
Yeah, I think the worrying thing in that for me is I wonder that I'm going to, and I worry that I'm going to totally contradict myself, because the reality is that we don't have a fixed thought process. It changes a bit from week to week. So, you know, I'm sure that one week I'm going to say something, and then 3 weeks later I'll say something that's contradictory, and everyone will say, hang on a minute, that's not what you said.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking the other day. I was thinking, and also because we recorded a few of these a little bit in advance, I'll be saying, oh, I'm completely stuck. And then the next week I'll be saying, oh, I'm flying along. And it will seem really weird. But I do feel like that. When you feel stuck, you feel totally stuck. And then when you feel flying, you feel totally flying. And it can be within a few days of each other.
Yeah, it's been quite hard to kind of catch up in terms of listening to the ones that have gone out and knowing that we're a few ahead, but maybe we'll settle into a better pattern once we get going. So yeah, if things seem a little bit out of sync, that's exactly why. So with that in mind, what have you been working on this week?
So I have been I've been painting, but I'm going to save that and talk about that when we talk about the creative block. But I've also been working on Facebook advertising with somebody that I've hired to help me with that for the business side of my business, which is teaching courses. And that's just been so fascinating. I mean, what you can do on that platform compared to what I was doing is just amazing. And the woman who's helping me is incredibly just, she knows what she's doing. And so it's made a massive difference. So where previously I would have 2 or 3 people sign up for my mailing list a day, I'm having 12 to 20 people sign up for my mailing list a day. And they are actually the right kind of people, the people that I think need what I have to offer and who want to hear from me. So that's just been amazing. And she's also doing it at a fraction of the price that I was able to do it at.
I think it's fascinating. I've never really done Facebook advertising, because I know enough to know that I don't know enough about it. Yeah. It's hugely time consuming.
Yeah.
And that's, if you've found somebody who can do that for you.
Yeah. That's, I mean, incredible. So far so good. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But that's been my week, really.
Techie. I've been doing the exact opposite, actually. I have been working on the big panel paintings, and having said that I wanted to keep going in the same way that I started, feeling really expressive with them, I found myself yesterday with one of those days where you look at what you have at the end of a painting session and it sort of doesn't feel any different from how it was at the beginning. And it's a bit frustrating because you feel as though you haven't made any progress because there haven't been any big obvious changes in that time. And for a few minutes, I was just a bit annoyed with myself. And I wondered if I was in that stage where I wasn't risking things and I was playing too safe. And then I kind of gave myself a bit of a break because I realized that what I was actually doing was figuring out this idea of where I want my work to go, which is about how to play and adjust colors and texture in more subtle ways. So there aren't going to be so many big obvious changes. And actually, I hadn't been in a state of frustration or irritation while I was painting. It was only afterwards that I thought there haven't been any big changes, but that's because actually the big structure of it, I know exactly where I want to take it and what changes that I want to make with that. But in the meantime, I know I want to build up this soft, subtle area that is going to be a main part of the painting, because in the past I've been in places before where I've neglected that more subtle element, and then you've done something big and bold that's fantastic, but because you don't have a softer basis there to begin with, the painting in itself isn't rich enough, and that's quite tricky. So I'm kind of working a little bit backwards, I suppose. Anyway, I've been enjoying it. I have had my moments of procrastination, it has to be said, and I think I need a big sign to stick it on the fridge that basically says, you know, you'll enjoy it once you get started. Because sometimes I don't get up and I don't get working until what should be lunchtime. Maybe that's just because I'm not a morning person, but
yeah, that's what we'll say.
Yeah, stick with that. So the question this week is how to deal with creative block. So that's quite, I don't think my procrastination is creative block, by the way. I think they're two separate things, don't you?
Yes, I think they are too. I think sometimes procrastination follows a creative block. So you experience the block and then you start to procrastinate about even going in because you've experienced the block. But you can procrastinate without having had a block. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think actually you can procrastinate even more when you really don't have a block, because when you have a block and you really don't know what you want to do, I think that's actually quite easy to go and do something at that point. You're back at this stage where you don't have to risk anything. You can just go in and play. But when you've lost your creative block and you've got your mojo and you know you've got to get on in there and it's exciting, that's when the procrastination comes in, because that's when you think, okay, so in my head is this great anticipation. Oh, I've actually got to go and do it.
Yeah. Well, I always have. So I've had a few days where it's been going really well. I don't have a problem coming in here, but now I look at them and I think, well, I know they're not finished, but I don't want to mess up anything that's happened because they're so good at the moment. And so then there's another freezing point. But the point I was at a week and a half ago was, I don't know if it's a block, because I was applying paint. I'm always doing that. But it was, everything was terrible and there was no life to what I was doing, and I was making anything I touched worse, literally, like the anti-Midas, just if I touched it, it just went to crap. And so I decided to do something I never do, which is to stop for a week and do nothing. Mm. And in that week, I realized something you just said earlier. I realized that I do not, even though I preach this, I very rarely go in and just play. And I was inspired by something you posted where you were working with your jelly plate. And I have one of those, which I've never used. So I got it out and I did some of that, which was, I made a horrible mess of everything I printed, but it was such fun. It was like 4 hours later, it just whizzed by and I'd made all these scraps of paper and it was brilliant. And then I suddenly was like, oh, I want to paint. Mm. And I'd only been messing around for 4 hours. And all of a sudden, then I wanted to paint. And then I made some new pieces that started really promising and really exciting. So it was a big reminder to me of what I preach to other people, which is you need to give yourself time to just mess about. And it's not wasted time.
And time away, I think. I mean, it sounds yes. like the time away is really important to that. I mean, there's different time periods in this, isn't there? There's the freezing and I just know from experience that if I start painting, it's all very well to say I'm going to go and I'm going to paint intuitively, but if you start painting without any kind of idea or feeling about how you're going to make progress or what you want to do or what you're interested in, it does all just end up mushy. That really doesn't work. So you've got to feel that kind of fire in your belly before you begin. And you don't. This morning I woke up feeling like that. This morning I woke up dreaming of painting. But it doesn't always feel like that. So that's when doing those other processes, I think, can really help. I started this week, I had one day where I wasn't feeling it. And I went to do a little collage in my collage book. And it just felt really restrictive. But as soon as I started doing that, I started feeling that, I want to paint. I want to go and squeeze yeah. and mix paint. And that's okay, then you're off. But I think creative block is different, isn't it? Creative block is much bigger than that. It's a much bigger freeze than a daily freeze.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have people in my Facebook group who've had a block for years, and I call it a block because you could call that just someone who doesn't paint. But I think it's a block if that person is interested enough in painting to join a Facebook group about that, to read articles about it, to listen to podcasts, but just somehow can't get themselves doing it. And in conversations, there are various reasons for that, but I won't say always, but in my experience, it generally has come back to a fear of failure. In one form or another. And so the person continues to feel the pull and they continue to want to make things, but they're not able to. And it becomes this big, huge pressure internally. So I don't know what I'm saying other than I think there is this, you can go for years and it is a block if you feel pulled to do it in some way.
Yeah, so there's a disconnect between what you want and what you're actually doing. And that can happen if you're starting off, but I think it also happens at various stages along the way. I mean, I think if there's a gap between what you want and what you're actually doing, imagine it like jumping across a river. You know, you're on one side and you've got to get to the other and it's just too big. You just can't reach. You can't jump that far in one go. So you need to find a narrower crossing point or some stepping stones along that. You've got to somehow make it smaller so it's easier to get to for those people who just aren't starting in the first place. And I think that there is another point of that, which is a creative block that happens when you've been working for a while and suddenly you lose track of what it is that you actually want.
Right.
Which I think is another thing. And I think that's perhaps where I've been a little bit in the last couple of weeks, because I know that things have shifted from where I was, and my ambitions and my aims for my painting were about one thing. And then there was the wish to paint faded away, but I knew that I wanted something more from it, but I couldn't put my finger on it, obviously, because it hasn't happened yet. But what's happened, and I think that this is why this is interesting in terms of creative block, is that as I've started working again, it's been easier for me to distinguish, with that thought in mind, something, I want something more from this, I want something different from this, and I don't know what it is yet. And then as I start working, I can feel, my response to things is different. There is a change between this is a way of painting that I was doing in the past and this moment that I had this week where I became absorbed in a new idea and a new way of doing things. And what I actually have for that is I just have an A4 sheet of paper and a big, not a little biro, a big thick, what are they called? Sharpie. And I just write down single words that come to me while I'm painting. So I wrote down transitions, because what I realized was as I was painting, what was fascinating me was the linking between the two spaces of light and dark. And again, it's a very process-led way of working at the moment, but that's what's interesting to me. So if I can identify that and write it down and put it on a piece of paper, that's going to help me get over this. I wouldn't call it a creative block now because I'm working again, but being able to identify where you want to go and what you're interested in is a way. So perhaps if you're stuck and you really haven't been doing any work for a long time and you can't find it within you, you need to break it by getting out and seeing other things that inspire you.
Yes, that's what I think. And my experience, it was similar in the last few days when it came back to me, was I realized I'm painting like myself, and I don't mean like things I've done before, but I feel like myself doing what I'm doing, and whether it's good or bad or indifferent almost doesn't matter at this stage, because to me it feels good. Whereas a couple of weeks ago when I was feeling stuck and making all those messes, I wasn't painting like me. I'd somehow lost myself again and started to be too much. And for me, what painting like me means is being not in my head. I've realized that. It doesn't matter about what principles I should be applying about composition and color if I'm too, because I get too thinky. And what I've realized is if I just paint intuitively, I actually am implementing principles of composition and color and all of that anyway. I do that without having to think too much. I had got too much into my own head, and I think that's often the problem. And that doesn't mean I know there are people who like to paint that way, and maybe in that case they've lost track of that. I think what it is whenever we go off track of our own thing, our own way of being, our own way of painting, whenever we don't are not connected with ourselves, which is what had happened to me when I lived abroad. And as you're saying, if you feel in that and you can't get back into it through splashing paint around, maybe finding what other things it is in your life that you love, and what other things it is in other people's work that you love, and just doing some of that digging and thinking and reflecting, I think would bring you back to where what you are as opposed to what everyone else is.
Yeah, because I think there's a danger in assuming that the answer is always going to be found in intuitively swishing paint around.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we've got brains for a reason, and we have to learn how to use them in the creative process. And of course, not to have them necessarily switched on all the time. But I think, you know, times when you've got a block, use both sides. So do the intuitive, messy, playful stuff, and also do the deep thought thinking investigation stuff. Now, yeah, I might not be a massive researcher, but, you know, pick at some weird book, go to the library and just browse all the sections of the library and find some weird thing about anatomy or the way that flowers work, or, you know, because you're going to go along those library shelves or a good bookshop, and there will be some subjects or ideas or topics that appeal to you, and there will be some things that you're not bothered about in the slightest. And I think that can give you a good clue. If you're really stuck and your creative block is making you question, what am I interested in? You know, why am I even doing this? You got to do a little bit, I think, of intellectual digging too.
Yes, I think so too. And my reference to intuitive was really what I'm saying is, once you find out what it is that's your way of painting, if you get away from that too much, that's when you get stuck. And so for me, everybody talks about the importance of thinking and stepping back and taking time to assess and analyze. And obviously you have to do a little bit of assessing and analyzing, but I'm realizing that in my case, it needs to be a little bit, because I can, and I'm like this in life too, as we are in life, we are in art. I can't count how many times people in my life has told me, you think too much, you analyze too much, you get way too much in your own head. And I do it, I pick apart everything that happens. What did they mean when they said that? What does, you know, all of that. And now I'm doing it with my painting.
But you've also told us that you get on with things, and when you have an idea, you jump in really quickly.
Yes. So that's when I'm operating at my best.
Ah.
Is when I'm learning now at this late stage in life that when I operate at my best is when I feel the, whatever it is, the pull, and I do it without questioning it. If I let things go on too long without taking action, then all the little thinky parts come in, and then I can find the alternative solution to anything. I can find 50 alternative solutions and then get really bogged down in which one would be the best. And I mean in life, but also in painting. So how I think this relates to creative block is, I'm going back to the same point that I keep trying to make, and I don't think I'm finding the right words for it, but it's always, I think, when we get away from who we are, either in our personal life or in our painting life, that we then get blocked from creating, because we're trying to do things that we don't feel right. This is what I think is comes back to this thing of really digging into who you are and what you enjoy. And part of that is thinking, it's the outside things we talked about, but it's also thinking about the times that you were working and you were enjoying it. What were you doing at the time when it felt good?
Yeah, but I think things change as well, don't they? You know, maybe what that's the point of creative block is that something that once felt good no longer does. But what we're talking about is the times where you've lost your inspiration and you've lost your motivation. And perhaps we're saying that it might help to try and work on these two different ways of resolving it. So one is something that's more intuitive, and one is something that's more investigative and intellectual. And I think we both have both sides of that, and we both need both those elements, but perhaps the ratio of those changes for each of us, and the ratio changes at different periods of time in our work. So maybe that's a question to ask yourself if you're feeling that you've lost your inspiration and your creative juice, art juice.
Yeah,
I think that's where projects like the 100 Days project that El Luna runs, which I think is, I think it's spring, isn't it? So it must be coming up again soon. And I've tried a couple of times. And the idea of that is that you just find one thing that you're going to do for 100 days. It's not all art-based. But the idea of that is, I found very helpful, because it gets you through and it gives you a reason to keep going past a point where you would perhaps more naturally give up.
Actually,
and also gives you a way to kind of pivot, but stay within whatever remit you chose for yourself. And I think that's a very interesting way to deal with creative block is when you've started with something and your idea has changed along the way, which happens. And
actually, you just reminded me of something that I've totally forgotten about. About 3 years ago, I had a year-long block, which I'd forgotten all about, because I got rejected for my first ever big thing that I applied for. And I should have been rejected when I look back, but to me, it was like...
You never think that at the time, though, do you?
No. Well, I thought, well, I must be useless at this. I've got a sketchbook where I'd done a drawing, it didn't work out, and I wrote, this is why I got rejected. I am useless. So what I did was, but I still felt like I needed to do something. And somebody gave me a book on sketching for Christmas, and it had an exercise like that in it. And it was for 365 days, draw one thing, draw the same thing. And I thought, right, I'll do my face because I don't like looking at myself. So that'll be a challenge. And I know I'm always there, so I can always draw myself. So every day for 365 days, I did a self-portrait, and I have all these sketchbooks of these. And sometimes they were a quick scribble. They weren't, you know, elaborate. And then towards the end of that, I got back into painting again. I didn't want to paint myself for the rest of my life, but it was just something to make myself show up.
That's really interesting. I've tried doing that once before. I've tried doing a daily drawing book, and it didn't work for me at all, not one bit. And I think I got, and I know what the problem was. The problem was that I was thinking that I needed to do observational drawing of what was around me. And so therefore it was probably like, what's around me is my house. I'm bored of my house. You know, I look at my house every day. It's really hard to see it with new eyes. And there was one day and I drew a piece of soap on a soap dish. And I literally remember thinking, no wonder you're not interested in this, because this is boring. So yeah, I ditched that. That was a project that I started that I ditched. So there we go. Permission to ditch project.
Yes. Wow.
Right. We had a question. Actually, we had loads of questions and things in. So little reminder here. If you have a question for us, you can find that on bit.ly, that's bit.ly/artjuiceq, or you can come over and find Louise Fletcher or Alice Sheridan Art on, find our pages on Facebook and ask a question there, and maybe just tag us into it so that we know that that's what it's for and that's what you're asking, or tag it Art Juice podcast question or something. But the question this week is, as I look around my studio, you're all going to love this because I know we've all felt this. As I look around my studio, it looks like it's shared by three or more different folk. My work is so diverse as I chase different levels of abstraction or texture and surface, creating space, carrying on in the hope that it will all converge. But maybe this is a stage and you have some wise words to say about it. So the question is, I suppose it's about three different styles or three different approaches to work that feel so diverse that nothing is kind of coalescing and going in one direction. I think often we are much more critical on ourself than, and we see things differently than the way other people see them.
Yeah. So what looks like different styles might not be.
Yeah. But I think it also, very often, it is where people are fearful of actually making a commitment to one thing or another. So people spend, you know, they do spend time going to or doing outdoor watercolors and doing still lives and trying abstracts. And I think it's a bit like, in that sense, maybe it's a bit like trying to learn three different languages. You know, if you're trying to learn Russian and French and Spanish, your progress is going to be slower than if you go, I want to become fluent in Spanish and I'm going to go and live in Spain for 2 months and do Spanish. You're going to get speaking Spanish much quicker than if you're trying to learn Spanish alongside learning Russian.
Yeah. Now it depends. So is it that, because we don't know the details in this specific situation, or is it that this person is just exploring a lot of different ideas, but all in the same medium or all along the same lines? And it sounded a little bit like that to me.
Okay, so the question here is, my work is so diverse as I chase different levels of abstraction, texture and surface or creating space. So there's different ideas going on here, and it sounds like this person is trying to find a way to make them all come together in one. carrying on in the hope that it will all converge. And I'm just wondering, perhaps maybe it's not a question of it all converging. Maybe it's a question of looking at the different types of work that you've got.
I think that person, I mean, that's not a person who's stuck. That's a person who sounds like they're happily producing.
Yeah.
And so I think that at some point, they either converge or one of them pops out and you end up chasing that one because that's more exciting.
So maybe this is a situation where you can give yourself a bit of a project. I think the frustration here is I'm just carrying on. There is no beginning and end to this. And I don't really know what I'm, you know, is this a stage? Is this going to get anywhere? And that's where the frustration comes from. I think you're right that there isn't a hesitation about doing different things and having a go at all these different areas. Maybe this is a situation where it's quite good to say, I'm going to carry on working like this. And at the end of this month, I'm going to have a day where I get all the work out that I've done together and have a look at it. And I'm going to put it in three separate piles. This I love the look of and I loved making it. This is, I really don't like it and I'm not interested in it anymore. And there's a pile in the middle that's got something, but I don't know what it is.
That's a good idea.
And this is where the kind of headspace comes back into the feeling that I think sometimes you do have to have markers almost. Yes, you just keep working, but that can become a little bit of an endless kind of hamster wheel.
Yeah.
You've got to have markers where you kind of stop and give yourself time to look at what you're working at and...
But I think there's another aspect to that question before we leave it, which is this feeling that we often have that I have to have a style, like I have to narrow this down and get to the point where I know my style. There's some of that pressure going on there as well. And I sometimes think we have to step back from that and just accept that just like we have a face that nobody else has and we have a vocal sound that no one else has. We have a style that no one else has and we can forget about that. It's like, just don't try and force ourselves into pigeonholes.
But also it's going to change and it's just going to come out whichever way it comes out. If you keep following, whether it's instinctively or analytically, if you keep following what you're interested in, it will come out. I mean, I shared a photo, the other day into my small group because it was one of those things where Facebook pops up and it shows you this is what you were doing this day four years ago.
Yeah.
And it felt such a long time ago. And it showed me little sections of these paintings. And the funny thing was at the time I felt, I knew that there was something in them, but I didn't know what it was yet. But they looked so kind of hesitant and,
yes,
you know, it was really interesting to see the difference. But equally, in there is the same idea that I'm still interested in. So I've been talking about this big painting and the kind of mixing of colours and how they merge together in these transition phases.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really loved about those paintings from 4 years ago, was how that there was that softness. And then I was trying to put a bit of edge back in, but I didn't have the tools yet. I didn't know how to do that. I wasn't confident enough or knowledgeable enough with the kind of rules of paint, and I also wasn't confident enough and expressive enough with the way that I personally used paint. And you can see it. You can see it. Yeah.
It was the same for me. I knew this landscape was what I loved, but I mistakenly thought it was the landscape that I wanted to paint. And then I wasn't skilled enough with paint to do what I wanted to do. And I went through all different mediums. And then it was only through this process that we were talking about earlier of reflection and digging and really thinking about what I was interested in that I realized it was actually wild landscapes and space and the feeling of that I was interested in. And it didn't even have to be this landscape. It could be any wild landscape in any part of the world. And it was the feeling of it. And then as I got better with paint, And still I've got so much to learn, but that enables you to start pursuing that in a different way, because now I realize it's not looking at that hill over there that I'm actually interested in, which I used to think. But always the seeds were the same.
Yeah, and I do think it's a process that you have to go through as well. So it's just a kind of stage of acceptance, really, that, you know, you can't necessarily jump straight in, you know, to making the work that you want to make. It's not always going to happen. Actually, I don't think it ever happens immediately. You know, there always has to be a learning curve. And it sounds like that these different strains of work and being interested in different areas is just part of the investigation. So I suppose I would say my wise words about it is that, yes, I think it is a stage, and enjoy it. And also maybe just put something in place for yourself where you can just give yourself time to review it and figure out what you want to do next, rather than just letting it endlessly go on, because then there is a danger perhaps that you might stay stuck within that stage. I just want to have a little rant here before we go on to Inside Outside.
Okay.
My little rant, it's going to be very short and we don't have to discuss it very long, but I went out this morning and I went to my local art shop because I like to support my local art shop, and I had three things that I wanted to buy and they didn't have any of them in stock.
Sounds like my art shop.
This is a fairly big art shop in a fairly busy part of town, and I just felt, I am trying to give you money here. I mean, I buy lots of my materials online, but I thought, I do quite like to shop locally where I can. I know it's going to cost me more, but I have chosen today to come to you to spend money on something, and you haven't made it easy for me. So my little rant is, for artists out there who would like to sell more of their work, how easy are you making it for people to buy from you? Because if we take the shop as an example, they really weren't making it very easy at all. That's it. This is a subject for another time, but that's my rant. I'm going to leave that with you. If there's one thing that you could do today to make it easier for people to buy from you, off you go. Go and do it.
You've touched a little nerve for me, so I know about 10 things I could do.
So Inside Outside, what's inspired you? Is it work from inside you or something that's happened outside in your world?
I was looking for content for my course, and I found a video interview on YouTube with Stephen Pressfield, who wrote The War of Art. He was being interviewed by Marie Forleo, and I'll put a link in the show notes to the video. And he'd written a new book, and I honestly can't remember the name of the new book, but he read a quote out from the book, and as usual it was about creativity and the process, and this was the quote. He said, "Suspending self-judgment doesn't just mean blowing off the 'you suck' voice in our heads. It also means liberating ourselves from conventional expectations, from what we think our work ought to be or should look like. Stay stupid, follow your unconventional, crazy heart." And I watched that video just as I was a little bit stuck. And it was where I realized, this is what I've done. I'm not following my own unconventional, whatever, you know, it might not be that unconventional, but my own sense, I've started to follow what I think makes a good painting again, and gone down that rabbit hole. And it just really got me back into, it was one of the things I think that kickstarted my painting again this week. And you can't learn that lesson enough times, I don't think.
No, I quite like that. Stay stupid. I think that's something else. Yeah. I've got on my fridge.
But the whole interview was inspiring. It was just really good.
Yeah, that's a good one. So mine might kind of follow along the similar lines of Stay Stupid. So we went down to a concert at my son's school where he was playing guitar, And you have to, there's quite a strict audition process to have a place at this concert. And the standard, the quality was mind-blowing. But what really hit me was this was a bunch of mainly, I suppose, 16 to 18 year olds, all different styles of music, beautiful singing, country, there was just all sorts. The kind of self-possessed, confident teenage knowledge of them just kind of washed over you from the stage. And it was actually a really kind of beautiful, life-affirming thing to go and see. And I just thought, if we could harness some of that self-belief in our own work and in just the idea of sticking at something, I mean, it just felt like here are all these people and they're on the brink of doing something amazing, and I just wish for them that they could hold on for that feeling. And, you know, personally watching my son just kind of come alive with this playing guitar. So he played a Muse song that they'd done their own version of, Muse song called Hysteria. I'll try and find a link. It's pretty heavy stuff, but there's a bit in the middle where there's a guitar solo, and he's a fairly shy person. And having watched his progress from tiny little boy on classic guitar to this point here, it was just a really lovely moment, and that kind of reinforcing the idea that you know, good things take time. So hang on to your self-belief and stick at something, because I know that what made a difference to him was finding his music that really appealed to him. And there was a stage where it was hard work and he wasn't interested, and then when he found the kind of music that he really loved playing, then there was liftoff. So yeah, finding your music and your things. But it was a great evening and really inspiring.
Well, that fits perfectly in with our theme this week.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that's a very nice fit. Where should people come and find us if they want to join in?
So you can find me at louisefletcherart.com. I have a blog there, or on Instagram, louisefletcher_art. And you can find Alice at
just my name, alicesheridan.com. And yeah, come and find me on Instagram, which is at Alice Sheridan Studio, or just search for Alice Sheridan Art on Facebook. And then from there will be links into groups and things like that.
Anyway, so this was great. Thanks, Alice.
Thank you, Louise. See you again next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Hello and welcome back to episode 6 of Art Juice. Besign, do it again. Don't believe it. I can't talk. I was on form this morning as well, and I've had a coffee and everything. Now I just can't talk.
What was I even saying?
You were talking about there's probably something that links them there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're doing Japanese manga kitsch cat cartoons on the one hand and abstract painting on the other.
How did you know I was doing the cartoon?